Minnesota basketball fans, welcome back to the Living in Loserville podcast, Timberwolves and Gophers edition. I'm your host, Chris Carlson. My co-host, Aaron Miller, will be joining us very shortly. And, you know, we thought that we were going to go Gopher heavy once again on this podcast. And don't get me wrong, we are going to go Gopher heavy later as far as that big win last night over the bitter rival in the Wisconsin Badgers, of course. And they just slaughtered him. But that, we'll get into that. We'll get into that slaughtering, the best performance from the team this year, which is a good sign, being that it's February. But we finally got some good stuff to talk about when it comes to our Minnesota Timberwolves. Today, coming across the news wave, they made a big trade. We're definitely going to get into all the details. We've made a variety of trades. I mean, we got a different roster altogether. And we were talking about a couple weeks ago, is this a low-key rebuild or a retool or whatever? And I think we got the answer right there. We're going to give you the details as far as how many picks we have for 2020, what we had to give away as far as picks. We do have a protected pick next year that we gave to Golden State. Hopefully they don't use that next year. I don't think they will. The odds are they won't. But we're going to get into this D'Angelo Russell, Andre Wiggins. I already forgot his name. Andre Wiggins. I like that. Not Iguodala. I was looking right at Iguodala right there. That's funny. Andre Wiggins, I'm going to go with that. And, it's a trade that seems like it fits for both sides. And we'll get into some of that, no doubt about it. If this is your first time listening to the Living and Losing Pro podcast, of course, the Timberwolves and Gophers edition, we want to thank everybody that listened to the Purple People Vikings show with a little bit of Gophers at the end. If you're with us now, we appreciate it. We know it's been tough watching these Timberwolves. But if you're, if this is your first time listening, or you've caught it here and there, you can find it right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoveradio. So if you want to listen to the Living in Loserville podcast, it's under the Ropeadove Radio umbrella. Now, it's just not on Blog Talk. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, Stitcher, Spricker, TuneIn, all across the board. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found across the board as well. In fact, you can use your Siri or Alexa through Spotify or TuneIn to find these platforms. And while you're at it, why don't you head on over to the Grueling Truth? TheGruelingTruth.com. That's TheGruelingTruth.com. They got a great sponsor over there, BetNow.eu, with the promo code TGT. TheGruelingTruth.com. It's basketball, football, boxing, baseball. It's everything in between. Why don't you head on over there right now? And just one more thing before we get into this big, big trade for Andre Wiggins, shipping him out for D'Angelo. Not the singer, the basketball player. I got something for you here. If you're thinking about cutting the cord, maybe you cut the cord and you're just not quite happy. You just don't know what you want to do. You know that you're sick of paying around $200 for cable, right? The normal cable package. Try this out here. It's called AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. They do have the 7-day free trial. There's no annual contract to hold you down. I mentioned the 7-day free trial, but the plans start as low as $60 a month. You could stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR involved. It's called AT&T TV Now live streaming, not to be confused with, which I got it confused a little bit, I believe, AT&T TV. That's just normal cable. That is their growing cable system. That's all across the country and in limited areas, whether it's up here in the Midwest, in Minneapolis and St. Louis, parts of New York, California, Florida, all the way up to Seattle on the Northwest. So anyway, try out AT&T TV Now, and if you want to do AT&T, maybe your internet is not really all that good where you live, no matter what you upgrade to. You can try AT&T TV as well. Just go to the website, put your information in as far as area code, and see, if you got it. All right. We got that. We paid the bills. Okay, so There was a lot to train. I'll say this. Rosas, well, actually, why don't we just start right here? I got a little thing tuned up here. We're going to go.
Adrian Wojnarowski tweeting, D'Angelo Russell is going to the Minnesota Timberwolves for Andrew Wiggins.
Wow.
Look at this.
Oh, wow.
We also have a 21 protected first round pick, a 2022 second round pick. Warriors will send also Jacob Evans, Amari Spellman to the Timberwolves as well. Woo! Brian.
That's a huge win for the Wolves, because what the Wolves wanted to do, the reasons for slowing it down, they did not want to give their 2020 first round pick unprotected. A couple of days ago, that was the kind of deal that Golden State wanted. They rolled the tape Wiggins, but they wanted to be incentivized with multiple picks, including this year's pick, which we know is going to be very good. For the Wolves to be able to make this deal without having to give up their pick this year is just a tremendous deal. Completely energizes that team and really changes their outlook, especially considering they still have other assets that they did from the Robert Covington deal.
Andrew Wiggins is going to Golden State, yeah. Paul. D'Angelo Russell finally united with Karl Anthony Towns in Minnesota. This is huge.
So there you have it. It's a big trade, obviously. It means a lot. We did need a spark, so to speak, in general here in Minnesota. The pick for next year, the first pick that they talked about, and this is how it breaks down. I'm going to bring in Aaron in just a second. There's a second round pick in there, of course, you know what I mean? But it's a protected top three pick next year. Okay. So that means that if our pick somehow we're, I don't think we're going to be the third worst team next year. But maybe we don't make the playoffs and somehow we jump up into the top three. Well, then we lose the pick next year. Okay? I don't see that happening. The odds are that it won't. We know how that goes. It's Minnesota. Knock on wood. But then it pushes to the next year and they just get the pick, no matter if it's 20th or if it's 5th, whatever it is. So it pushes it to 2022. God, it's hard to say all this stuff. With these 2020 stuff. I've noticed that on other podcasts too. So, you know, the Wolves off of their Covington and all these other, you know, moves they've made, which is a ton of them. You know, they have two first round picks. The pick that they have, which should be right now, it's the 5th pick. There's a possibility they could get in the top four. You never know. Not just off losing, which we're pretty good at this year. We're damn good. Doing it at a high clip, or we could just get in there. Cause remember, they did even out the balls a lot more for the lottery balls. So either way, we got a high pick just off the one we have. Now the Nets pick is kind of interesting because as of right now, the Nets were having a pretty good season, enough to get into the East for the playoffs. However, Kyrie Irving hurt his knee, go figure, right? He has an MRI coming. He sprained it. They don't know how serious it is. I'm not, you know, projecting, you know, this guy to stay hurt or anything like that, but it's a sprained knee. We don't even know what it's going to be just yet. So could it be 6 weeks? I don't know. Could it be the rest of the season? It's really tough to tell. I bring that up for obvious reasons. If they don't have Kyrie, they're going to start losing some games, and that could be two lotto picks at that point. Now, will we combine those two lotto picks and go and maybe even add a player or something and try to bring in a player? I know a lot of folks are like, oh, we got to get Booker now. And it's like, okay, we can get Booker. We give him two first-round picks, but we're going to need about 9 teams involved to get that so they can get the worth back. They just – I mean, not all that long ago they gave him an extension. So it is what it is. But in the end, I think it works for both teams. If you look at Wiggins going over there, I mean – clearly, what I mean, not this year, obviously. They're going to probably get Steph back from his injury. But Clay, I don't know if they'll play Clay. Maybe they'll play him near the end just to get some run out of him, but I don't know. But all I know is to have those shooters, Steph and Clay, on the court, that's going to make Wiggins just go headstrong to the bucket, much like he did in his first couple of years in the league. He's not going to have much responsibility, but score. He's going to be playing at a more natural position at small forward because you have Clay, you have Curry to handle the ball, especially Curry, obviously. And really, the second point guard is Green anyway, Draymond. He's up there in assist as far as in the league. I think he's at 6 or 7 of them a game. So it makes sense for them when they get it all together. And also, you still have Clay as long as he's back healthy. You still have Clay to be that number one defender, wing, or guard. You know what I mean? So, but as far as us, D'Angelo Russell, you know, he just fits the system better. He fits around Cat better. He's a better dribbler, not as high a dribble. He's craftier with just getting himself open and getting shots. Way craftier. He passes the ball better, especially these last couple of years. He's definitely a guy that can make plays for himself and get his own shot or pass the ball very well in outside shooting. He's definitely better. I guess you could say free throw as well. He's a better all-around player with the ball in his hand. Now, neither of them are known for their defensive integrity. Let's put it that way, right? So we're not really gaining or losing anything in this particular trade. You can obviously say Covington, losing him defensively. Covington was rumored to be in this trade earlier in the week. But I heard a pretty strong rumor that Golden State, the Golden State doctors that had, I don't know if they had looked at him previous or some of the information they got, but I kept hearing that his knee, they don't like what his knee says in his knee talks. No, but really they're talking about his knee and how they think maybe in the next couple of years that Covington is going to start to break down. I don't know if that's true or not. I couldn't tell you. I liked Covington a lot. I liked, you know, he was a 3-and-D, but just a good guy to have around. He was tight with Cat as well, which can be important, especially to this new generation. But now Cat has his best buddy or one of his best buddies. So I don't want to see him pouting as much. I don't want to see him kicking rocks on the court or complaining about stuff left and right. When the whistle blows, it's time to complain to the refs. Until that point, run down the court, okay? So it's one of those trades I think is going to work out. And like I said, I'm not up here hooting and hollering and celebrating like it's the first couple years of KG and Marbury. You know what I mean? This isn't Stockton and Malone. I'm not ready to say, here we come, LeBron AD. You know, it's nothing like that. I think it just, it's a better fit. And also, in the coming years, the cap does straighten out from all of these moves we've made. And I'll say this. You know, Rosas, the guy in charge now, the president, he's impressed me in a variety of ways. Just the improvement that however he had to do with installing what they installed off season, obviously you gotta credit Wiggins because he improved, but they improved him as a player, and they have a track record of finding role players to fit with stars in Houston, and he was part of that, a major part of that. So I like what I see out of this guy as a president. I think that he's here to stay. If you look at a lot of NBA guys, they're very impressed he was even able to do this. The fact that he was able to move a dead Wiggins contract, but also improve Wiggins, because without that improvement, you never know if this even happens until a year or two from now when the contract starts to slow down or whatever. Not necessarily slow down, but it starts to, you see some light at the end of the tunnel of it anyway as far as years. So I really like this trade, and I like a variety of the trades. We kind of went with some vets to put as role players, but also a lot of youngsters, too, that maybe one or two will catch on. We did keep some of the guys. We got Culver. We got, a Kogi. We still have some people here, just not many. In fact, a little later I'll definitely go over the list of who's in and who's out, but you got guys like a Malik Beasley or a Vanderbilt that could get some. Evan Turner, just a solid guy. Some of these guys, like I said, are going to be here. Some of them won't. A guy like James Johnson for, you know, Dieng, Gorgie, you know, he's just a better outside shooter. I think that's really the only difference. So long story short, it was a must. Obviously, they had their eyes on, you know, D'Angelo from the beginning of the time here. And like I said, he's just a more creative offensive player. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host. And, you know, when you first heard about it, well, just what are your thoughts just in general? I mean, we thought about that we were going to be able to get him in the offseason, but then Golden State and the way that Durant went to the Nets, it just kind of lined up perfect for them. We couldn't obviously just straight up sign him. And that's when Wiggins looked like he was never going to improve. But what are your thoughts on this trade, man? It just felt like we needed to do something right now, you know?
Very similar to yours. But, you know, I pick out a couple extra points. I think that it was a real stroke of genius to, like you said, get Wiggins tradable and then actually managing to trade him away and get rid of that contract that everybody wasn't even sure if they wanted him to sign in the beginning. And I think it proved that, you know, probably wasn't the best deal. So that's, you know, we can wash our hands with that and move on as a franchise. I think he'll fit in pretty well in Golden State as long as, you know, he wants to play. I mean, that's always been the issue with him. And then I was thinking, you know, well, what's this obsession with D'Angelo Russell? Why are we so obsessed with this guy? We've been after him for 2 years. I don't see him to be that great of a player. And then I looked into it a little bit more, realized he had a relationship with Kat, and that Rosas is just going to put his chips in on Kat, and we're going to see what happens. I'm a little dubious because I feel like defensively it's just, you know, he's not producing – for his position, defensively, offensively, like we've always said, he's improving game to game, but defensively, I have a few worries if he can get, you know, maybe D'Angelo can spark a little defense out of him, but he needs to become a defensive player. You know, he doesn't have to be KG, but he's gotta be, you know, an average defensive player, show some effort. I think really that's all it is effort with Kat. But now, like we said, it's in his court, man, and this is his squad. They're gonna build around him. You got some decent young pieces, some vets to help out. We got a couple picks in drafts, and we're doing all right. And it's just good to have a change. I know last week we were just kind of like morose about what is going on and why. I don't understand what's going to come out of this. And we thought, well, maybe during the trade line, but deadline. But we're saddled to Wiggins, we're saddled to Kat. And then we can really do. We got to build around those two, and it just wasn't working out. Those two being our max player. I mean, you play Atlanta, you got two max players on the court, and you can't win that game. Atlanta's not a very good squad this year. And it's just, there was something that wasn't adding up, and I'm not saying that it's going to add up this time, but it's a different look, different change, maybe a different vibe. I mean, we just continue to produce different looks, different changes, different vibes with this franchise, and one of them's got to stick. I think we're about due, so I'm on board with the Russell trade. Gorgie, we needed to get rid of that contract as well, so that was a pretty good trade. I like what we got back, and now we're kind of free to put in some bits and pieces around Kat. We've got a pretty good 3 to 4 player nucleus. Now we just start to build around it. And then quickly on Evan Turner, I know he probably won't be here. They're gonna, it's something about contract buyout or something. I'm not sure what they're gonna do. But I think he could be a good piece if he wants to stick around, a bench guy. And I don't know. We'll see what happens with him, though. But overall, happy about the trade just simply because they needed to shake something up over there, and they certainly did.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what a lot of this has come down to. And if you look at it, taking away, you know, like guys that are on the club as two-way guys, like just like, oh, you know, on a 10-day, 20-day contract stuff. We got Towns, Lehman, Culver, Okogie, Noel, and Reed. Oh, and in that guy we what the hell's his name? I already forgot his name. The guy we just traded for who could shoot. Oh, God, there's so many players.
Jackson?
No, we didn't. I'm talking about guys we had on the roster.
Lehman?
No.
No.
We just got him. We literally just got him. Like, not now, but the trade before where he was a shooter. It was Covington.
Yeah,
was
I know who you're talking about. God, what is that guy? I know. Here, hold on. Let me. You keep talking. I'll find it for you.
All right. So anyway, Wiggins, Covington, Dieng, Shabazz, Diop, Noah Vonleh, and Jordan Bell all out. And here's another thing about the president, okay? When you're a free agent, when you're in the free agent market, it's whatever's on the free agent market, right? You can sign bit role players, and we signed some, and some of them, like I like Lehman, some of them seem like they're good, some of them not so much in as far as a fit, but they were quality players, like on 1 year or tops 2 year contracts. And I bring that up because, you know, Shabazz and Noah, but these guys were able, we were able to trade these guys in this stuff too. So it tells you he brought in not just, okay, we got to sign somebody. These guys were actually involved in the trades. So that kind of impressed me too. Cause like I said, you know, you could look around the league and say what guys I want to fill in my roster, but when you're in free agency, sometimes it just doesn't work that way if they're not willing to, you know, do the big piece. But when you look at like a Malik Beasley and the Vanderbilt and the Hernan, what is that,
Hernan Gomez?
These guys have some potential. I don't know what they're going to turn out to be, but they do have some potential to fit around as role players. And another thing real quick, in Houston, and I keep bringing it up because that's where he was from, and did a lot of work there, and that's how he got a job, this major job, as far as being a president anyway, they found just solid pieces that you go, oh, I'm not sure, right? So I mentioned that they found good pieces to put around their stars, and they also developed, you know, like the center they developed. Now they traded him. Like, they really are good at development, right? And we can see it firsthand already, and it's been a short time. But also, once they got what they liked, then they added the P.J. Tucker. You're going to play P.J. Tucker there? Yep, I am. And he can hit threes, and he's a junkyard dog. So I don't think that this is just our team, and the next couple of months is what our team's going to look like, and that's it. Some of these guys are going to be here. Some of them aren't, but as far as defense, I guess my point is, once they got it set, then they just kept adding these little defensive things. And if you get three guys on a court that can play really good defense, the other two you can hide. I mean, they hid James Harden, for Christ's sakes, for 2 seasons. That's saying something, because he can't defend worth a shit. So keep that in mind when you think defense. Yeah, you think, you know, the old school thought, us saying, there's not a whole lot of defense. Sure, the rule change plays into that, but man, there's only a handful of clubs that play really solid defense. It is an offensive league. There's no doubt about it. Just the rules in general and what we're looking at and all these freaking 3-point shots, right? But if we're gonna move into this, you know, this style, we need stuff like that. And so I the guy I was thinking about got hurt and hasn't even played.
Okay. See, I thought you were maybe talking about Beasley. And I also want to, you know, piggyback up what you said about Rosas. You know, he took, if you look over the course of this offseason, he took some G League players and turned them into trade capital. I mean, that's that's a good stroke of there. I mean, you got guys like the point guard that we traded out. What's the other kid? I mean, all those kids that no one heard of, you ended up using it as trade capital and getting something back for them. I mean, they weren't in the league. They just made it through in right. Summer league. And it was pretty, you know, that's an impressive thing about it. Like you said, in Houston, they'd come up with this guy and that guy that you never heard of to put him in the starting lineup. He does what he's supposed to do. Next thing you know, he's a player in the league. And that's an interesting little twist of what happened if you kind of go with the timeline all the way back through the offseason. Now, you know, I was listening to Barrero today, and he interviewed Sam Mitchell, and Sam Mitchell had some pretty pointed words to say about the trade, what's going to happen, the relook, and he was fairly he wasn't too confident about it just because of the lack of defense. I mean, he really, I think at the end, he just pointed out that, you know, playoff teams play defense, and
right.
It doesn't matter who you line up, If they don't play defense, you're not going to be a playoff team. Now, you know, a best-case scenario for this trade is, you know, Marbury, Garnett, is Stockton, Malone. Is that very likely? Well, we don't know, but I'm going to, you know, venture to say at this point, probably not to that level.
Right.
But, I mean, if you're a serviceable two-man playing team, and then you can, you know, Culver's coming around. So you've got players here. I just think you need to – it needs to be competitiveness. And the real way to prove competitiveness is playing defense. And we can harp on that. We won't do that for another show because it's exciting. We're going to see what happens with this change of pace. But, you know, I think we're just always going to sit on our rockers and ask them to play defense. And if they do,
yeah,
you know, sky's the limit.
Well, and another thing, I love me some Sam Mitchell, but he clearly doesn't look at the standings in the last, say, 5 years in the NBA, who made the playoffs and who plays defense. Clearly he doesn't look at that because more than half the teams that make the playoffs don't play defense at a high level whatsoever. Now, once you get to the second round and you get to the conference final, I'm pretty sure that's probably if you said that to him, he'd be like, yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, like, to be in the playoffs as a worthy team, which is totally, you know, on board. It was Allen, not Crabtree. I kept calling him Crabtree, but Krabby or whatever the hell that guy's name. That guy, he may be a good role player that could shoot threes. That's going to be like he's making – he signed during that crazy year where everybody signed the Gorgie stuff. You know, everybody signed these huge deals because the cap went up some kind of crazy-ass number. And so – the money was just there, and teams used it not wisely. And so he's going to – that cap is going to come down too. So that's kind of interesting. I mean, the Johnson guy, some people think he – well, he has a player option, so he's not gone. But remember, we had Gorgie on our team for another year anyway. So it doesn't – in the end, it looks like they're very similar players. But until you see these guys on a night-by-night basis, then you can really get to know them in general. But yeah, as far as the defense getting in, you don't need to play defense to get into the playoffs. But, yeah, if you want to get someplace, you're sure doing. That's why we keep using Houston because, literally, they turned into one of the best defensive teams with James Harden on their fucking team. You know, that's saying something. So, yeah, anything else you want to – because we're not going to cover the games, obviously. We're not going to talk Timberwolves games.
No, man, I hope that soon we will talk Timberwolves games. I hope it makes a big improvement, or at least an improvement a little bit. I mean, like you said, we're not far out of the eighth spot. A little effort might actually get you in the mix. So let's hope that they can do that and get a little something in the mix. So we got a big win from the old Golden Gophers and Richard Pitino. What was that, the day before yesterday, or was that yesterday?
That was yesterday, sir.
Yeah, over Bucky Badgers, always fun to beat those guys, and they really did. They put the licking on them, so that's what, they went 70-58 or something like that?
Yeah, 70-52. I'd say the best performance of the year all around.
Oh, yeah, I would agree. Well, they just, you know, they hit their shots. They were at home, and Gabe hit his shots. You had Carr going and Aturu. And I know Wisconsin lost somebody, but, you know, that's not our fault. And
they just beat Michigan State, so I'm not worried about them losing someone, right?
Yeah. I don't know, man. It was just a good home win. You want it to be the first step of things to come, but, you know, you got to take a step back and just realize that it was one game, but you really, really want it to be, okay, so now you build confidence off this and finish off the Big Ten strong. I mean, I think that's really what you want to see out of it. But it was a good win against a good opponent at home. And good first half. Gabe hit shots. Carr was getting in the paint, doing some really nice things in there. I mean, I just can't help but think of what last year would have been left with Coffee and Carr. And it blows the mind the way that kid's playing. And you put that on that team last year, and you know, you would have maybe gone a little farther in that tournament, had a chance to beat Michigan State, would have had a big record. It would have been something else. It was just unfortunate Carr couldn't play. I'm not going to keep hitting that point. But, man, it just keeps sticking out to me every time I watch Carr play. Great driving, good shooter, sets up the ball well, good in transition. It's just what a point guard does, and it's just invaluable.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And just to rewind, I forgot to do this. I wanted to do this, though, just to kind of give you a look of – a look-see of the Timberwolves roster right now age-wise. And I'm not going to go over every name, but just the ages, seriously. 23, 27, 20, 22, 24, 32. That's that Johnson dude who we swapped for Gorgie. 25, 24, 23, 20, 20, 21, 23, 22, 24, Evan Turner, 20 or 31, and then Vanderbilt, 20. So that's pretty impressive, dude. That's pretty freaking impressive, man. Anyway, sorry about that. Yeah, you're right, though. Willis came back into the starting lineup, and he hit, you know, early threes, got up like 16 to 8, had a nice little 7-0 run right around that time, maybe 5 minutes in. You could just tell we had our mojo going. And literally, like, not even 10 minutes into the game, Willis had 11 points. It's one of his better games. They were up 25 to 16 at the 11-11 mark. But then the shot went away a little bit. You know, there was some moments, about 7 minutes worth of, I don't know what's going on there, but they got it back. The points in the paint were key. Early in the first half, or not early in the first half, but in the first half, it was 14-2 in the paint. And I think it ultimately, I'll get to that number in a second, but also just to add on the car, he was one away. This is crazy, but I know it's only a 40-minute game, then 48 minutes from NBA to the college game, but we've only had one player get a triple-double. And Carr was a rebound away from getting a triple-double. But they were attacking the shit out of the rim. Yeah, it was 9-28 without a field goal. But, you know, it didn't really feel like it. It still was 31-23 with 5 minutes left. And I liked how they pushed it right to the end of half. 7-0 run, got up 45-32. And if Carr would have gotten that ball off a little bit earlier, they could have even had that little three-point lead right there. But 24-8 in points in the paint. 55% shooting from the field to 35. Arturo got some early fouls in the second half. I thought they played their best game defensively. They played great on both sides. Wisconsin from the field in the second half, 22%. Definitely the best performance in general. And we mentioned the young freshman who Patino's been talking about is starting to gain some weight. That long, lanky. I don't know what he's going to be. It's one of those players like, can you play power forward? But then you can see him like guarding on the perimeter too. So you're thinking, wait a second. Maybe he can. And actually, you know what? I'm having a little, you can hear me all right, right?
Yeah, I hear you fine.
Okay, good. Because maybe it was just on my phone that went nuts. What the hell was that? That kind of, I was like, no, we can't. We don't have, we can't do it over again right now. It was, that starts with an A, the Aleem, or not Aleem, but I can't remember.
Is it like Inan?
Inan? Yeah. Inan or Inan?
Yeah.
Or whatever. That guy is starting like to come that on. And, you know, he may only get a bucket here, bucket there, but you can see there's something going on with him on the court. He's in there. He's out on the perimeter, like I said, guarding somebody. He's getting a rebound. You can see as athletic. He's not afraid to shoot the three. I liked what I saw there. You know, I like what, you know, we're going to need him next year, regardless. We don't know exactly what's going to happen to Arturo, but it's looking like he's going to go pro. So we're going to need anybody that, you know, resembles a big in general. So, yeah, great outing, no doubt about it. And here they are, 6-6 in the conference after 12 conference games. And they got 8 left. And, we're still in the middle of a stretch that's going to be very difficult. But, you know, if you can go – I mean, man, if you can go – 4-4, you know, then that hits the number we've talked about since the beginning of the show. But can you go 5-3 down the stretch? You know, that'll be something that we'll keep an eye on. But, you know, I'm happy where they're at. We know that they're right on the bubble, and this is an example of a game that's going to keep you on the good side of the bubble come March.
And you just hope that, like, you know, the improvement you see in Peyton Willis is something that you can count on game in and game out. And that'll really help you maybe go 5-3 in those last games. And really, you know, if you can do that, stay 500 or above in that conference and have a good showing in the Big Ten tournament, I mean, you're going to be in. In fact, we both said, you know, 500, like you said, is probably going to get you in. Stranger things have happened where you're not, but, you know, I don't know about Oturu, if he's going to go or not. I mean, it seems like he might. He's playing just outstanding for a sophomore, so, and he's a big man and kind of a stretch. If he can get out there and shoot threes consistently like he did last night, I mean, that's just going to be tough to keep him out of the league. And, you know, we got some new recruits coming in next year that we like a lot. But, yeah, that's next year. And let's, you know, I really think we'll be a tournament squad this year. Just, you know, the wheels don't come off, knock on wood, injury free. Willis continues to play and be that third or fourth person. I mean, you start to see a starting lineup kind of roll into what it's going to be. And if you can get five players, you know, playing top of their game, or even four, maybe Demir's just your kind of workhorse guy, I think you got something solid to go into the tournament with. And you're going to be a lower seed, so it looks good, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. We got some games up in front of us.
Well, and this is just the Big Ten right here. You got Maryland and Illinois at 8-3, right? Then you got Michigan State 8-4, Penn State 7-4, Iowa 7-5, Rutgers 7-5, and then a slew of 5-5 or 5-6 teams. I mean, the Gophers at 6-6 are 2.5 games out from leading the conference. Now, I don't think they're going to lead the conference. I don't think they're going to win the conference. But that just shows you, you know, come March, Selection Sunday, they're going to respect that. They're going to respect that. And like I said, this has been a tough stretch. You know, Michigan State, Illinois, Wisconsin, Penn State, and Iowa. And we said, hey, even if you could get 2-3, we could be okay. It'd be nice to get 3-2. And I'm not sure if they'll be able to win the next two games. But at Penn State, going to be a tough one. Home, Iowa, one of those two they got to get. Then you have Indiana and Northwestern, both winnable games. And like you said, we're not going to get too far ahead there. But it seems like this squad's like headed in the right direction, no doubt about it. So the big, big win, one of the bigger wins of the season. And like you said, anytime you can beat Wisconsin, we'll take it. I think it's been 2 out of the last 10 games now we beat them. So we don't beat them a whole lot, right? Usually comes at home. So definitely a positive, you know, a positive thing. And man, like, just to do it how they did it, you know, like 70-50, like they really put it on them. And we've been waiting for a performance where they just put it together as a team. They are starting to get minor, and let me repeat that, minor bench production in some form of production on the floor. Maybe it's not always points, right? But we're going to need something off the bench level like that, and it seems like they are, they're getting someplace there. Anything else you'd like to add to the show, sir? I know you're under the weather, so we don't want to go too long, but thanks for hanging in there regardless.
Hey, no problem. The weather, yeah, just smacked me the fuck up today, so I don't know. I got a little fever and a little cold, but, you know, that's fine. Not really much to say except for, you know, we'll see how the trade works out, and you got to see the Gophers just continue to go. Like, let's just, you know, you win your home games. If you can win your home games, you're going to be all right going on to the end of the season.
And that does sum it up pretty much. It really does. I mean, you get those done and steal one here and there, and like you said, don't lose 3 games in a row, knock on wood, and we should be in the tournament with this squad. How much people we, you know, how many players we got coming back. It's, you know, definitely bright things on the horizon. All right. So that's it for the Living Loser Bro podcast, Timberwolves and Gophers edition. It is just so nice to have some positivity to talk about when it comes to the Minnesota Timberwolves. All right. So we'll be back next week. Enjoy the week. You know, have fun trying to keep track of all the new players and who's gone and who's back And I know a lot of people are talking about Booker. We got to get Booker. We got to just calm down a little bit. First of all, we're not getting him till the summer anyway. And like I said, they're probably like half the league is going to have to be involved in this damn trade just to give them something back rather than just early picks. But I'm not really even looking at that. This is a two-star league now. I don't know if that would ever happen. Anyway, we're going to get out of here. Like I said, enjoy your weekend. We'll be back next week. Peace.